Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy, and today's episode, not gonna lie, I don't have a title for it. I really don't know what we might come up with it while we're talking on it, and, you know, who knows? I don't know what it's gonna be called. But basically, first of all, I have a guest today. It is Kid Kong. He is joining me once again. You guys that, you will remember, he was on the show whenever I talked about the rebirth of Mothra, and we've kind of pieced together. I know I've thanked y'all for this already, but we've pieced together that he got a massive boost in listens not long after being on this show. So we kind of figure that a lot of you guys jumped over from this show to go give his show a shot, and I thank y'all for that and everything.
I thank you as well. Yeah. I'm extremely grateful for that. Very much so.
He was pretty spazzed out about it and all that. Like, I was at work and I just get a text and he's like, "Holy crap!" And he sent me a screenshot and it was like plus
498.
Yeah, 498 new listens in one day. So
sometimes the app takes a couple of days to catch up if you get an influx of, which you'll remember back when your channel first blew up a little bit, like the way that it sometimes takes a couple days to really see what it was. And I had no updates at all of any kind for like 3 or 4 days. And then when I just logged in just to check, I felt my hand go numb for a second. Look at it, like, what? And I went to the website and I looked and I could see that there were different plays that were spaced out throughout days that it just hadn't updated yet. So
yeah, the app has a bad habit of doing that. I know that whenever I hit my first big boom with the podcast was around like March and April. Go figure, around the time that Godzilla vs. Kong came out. But yeah, there were times I went through that as well. Like I'd log on to be like, let's see what I got today. And it'd be zero. The next day, zero. The next day, zero. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, did everybody abandon me? And then out of nowhere, it would be like 94.
Yeah.
And then another zero, and another zero, and then 86 or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I get that. But
I've had that happen a lot in the last couple of days alone as well.
Yeah, I never had one jump that much in one day. So again, we appreciate it
very much. So,
anywho, on today's episode, you guys will know from the end of the last episode I did on the fourth film in the Gamera franchise that a while back I challenged you guys to send me questions or comments and things like that. And whenever I say comments, it could be something as minor as like what your favorite kaiju is, what your favorite Godzilla movie is, what your favorite version of Godzilla is, or anything like that. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I love engaging with you guys. I like talking with you guys. To the guys that do regularly message me, keep them coming. I very much enjoy it. But anywho, I challenged you guys to send me comments or questions or anything like that. And one of my more diehard listeners, I've called him out on this show more than once. He is Eddie Crosby from Australia. He's, I think I'm comfortable enough in saying he's my biggest Australian fan because he's really the only Australian fan that I know of that I have. But I know I've got more because Australia accounts for about 5% of my total listen, so I know it's more than just him.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Eddie, for always listening and you know, sending me messages and all that kind of stuff. But anywho, Eddie sent me a question, and it's a doozy of a question
for sure.
And whenever I was looking at it, you know, I was planning, okay, I'll answer the questions or something like that at the beginning of one of my episodes. And then I read this question. I sent it to Kid Kong. I said, "Dude, did you see this?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah." And like, we got to talking about it. And the more we talked about it, the more I was just like, I'm not going to be able to do this question justice in like the first 5 or 10 minutes of a regular episode and then be like, okay, let me just rush through this real quick and then talk about the next Gamera film or something like that. So no, I pretty much decided, I sent Eddie a message and said, "Dude, you're getting your own dedicated episode." Like, so yeah, this episode is absolutely dedicated to Eddie. This is his personal episode that I'm doing solely for him and because of him. So again, if you guys want episodes like this in the future, by all means, do what Eddie did. Send me a question, send me a comment, or something like that. If it's intriguing enough, you might get your own episode as well. But anywho, I've got the question pulled up on Chris's phone, And I'm going to read it. Just bear with me for a moment. It's kind of a lengthy question, but it's purely theoretical. And me and Chris are just going to have a conversation. It's just completely a what-if scenario on what could have been. So here we go. Here's the question. Hi, Cal. My question is a what-if and an open-ended blue sky question, but would love to hear your thoughts. What if Hollywood, inspired by the success of Godzilla in 1954, produced a series of movies from the 50s onward that featured and developed its own unique giant monsters to rival Japanese kaiju? King Kong in 1933 is arguably Hollywood's most successful giant monster. I would agree to that, Eddie, by the way. Other contenders might be the Retosaurus from The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, Ymir from 20 Million Miles to Earth, or Talos from Jason and the Argonauts in 1963. In the 1950s, Hollywood monsters were mostly just giant radiated versions of their smaller cousins, such as Them in 1954, Tarantula in 1955, The Black Scorpion in 1957, The Spider in 1958, you know, you get the idea, the big bug craze, basically. I can't think of many other singular monsters that combined great creature design with a personality. But what if Hollywood took another path and aspired to create truly iconic monsters to rival Godzilla, Rodan, or Mothra? What would these American kaiju look like? What underlying themes might these movies have, if any? I like to think that if these movies were made and were successful, we would now have over half a century of giant monster movies to rival the output of Toho and Daiei Studios. Again, this is very much an alternative history, but it's fun to speculate. Take care, and all the best with the podcast. Cheers, Eddie. So, I know I done said this a little while ago, but it's a doozy of a question,
that's
Eddie.
That's a mouthful for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, no joke, Whenever the question came to me, I was thinking it was going to be something very similar to some of the things that I mentioned just a little while ago. Like, hey, just want to say that my favorite Godzilla movie is da-da-da-da-da, or, you know, something like that. But no, he's coming at me with a three-paragraph question.
He came out with guns blazing.
Yeah, he did.
When you told me that you were going to be putting it open for questions, I thought you'd get something like, you know, my favorite movie was so-and-so. What are your thoughts on this movie and why we didn't get more sequels? Or why we didn't get more of Scylla in some of the movies? Like different monsters that only made one or two appearances. I didn't expect
that. Like, no. So, no, it was definitely something. And luckily, I'm the kaiju guy. So, yes. I know a lot about this genre. And while Chris, not trying to put you on blast or anything, while he's not near as educated on the level as I am when it comes to kaiju stuff, he is a big just movie fanatic in general, like I am.
You will never, ever hear me claim that I'm an expert in any field whatsoever. I will never tell anybody, oh yeah, I know as much about kaiju as Cal does, because that's just, patently, that's a lie. There's no way whatsoever. Like, there are a multitude of Godzilla films that I have not even seen, and that's just how it is. Like,
that's how it is for a lot of people. But and you know, nostalgia pushes me forward a lot with a lot of the Godzilla films and everything. Yeah. But
funny enough, as much as I have a problem with like spiders, which for anybody who doesn't know, I'm deathly afraid of spiders. Always have been
terrified of them.
I've always been fascinated with the giant radioactive insect genre that came out in the 50s. And Them is genuinely one of my favorite movies. So
it was a decent movie. Like, I'm not going to lie, I think I talked about it on the episode that I did it. I had never... If I had seen it before, it had been a long time ago, and I couldn't remember hardly nothing from it.
Yeah.
But so it was basically like I was watching it again for the first time and all that. And just to let you know, like, how long it had been, like, if I even had seen it at all, is that Fess Parker was in the film. And I'm a huge Fess Parker fan. So whenever I saw him, I was like, holy crap, like, Fess Parker's in this. And, you know, I mentioned in the episode that I did that ultimately led to him getting cast as either Daniel Boone or David Crockett. I can't remember which one. But, anywho, so, yeah, Eddie, doozy of a question. So, pretty much what would have happened, I believe. Like, Hollywood was already kind of on this dinosaur kick
right.
around like the 30s and the 40s and all that. And the reason for that was like a full Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton had not been discovered until like 1910. Because in 1908, like a partial one was discovered. And then like 2 or 3 years later, they actually discovered a full intact one. So we're talking like by the time King Kong came out in 1933, they had only been aware of a Tyrannosaurus Rex's existence for 15 years, 20 years, you know, something like that. Like, so as far as they were concerned, they find this thing. They're like, holy crap, this was a real animal. All of a sudden, the game changed for movies and like what the big monster could be and all of that. And so, you know, you would just see there are so many dinosaur movies. Like, you know, I mean, I know people know like the big ones and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, there's dinosaurs in King Kong and then there's the Lost World and all that. But guys, there are so many more.
They would even use dinosaurs as monsters on alien planets in certain sci-fi movies.
Yeah, they would. And I believe I talked about that in my Beast from 20,000 Fathoms episode, that there is there's a movie. I can't remember exactly which one it is, but they go. It may have been just called like the Planet of Dinosaurs or something like that. But they go to another planet, and sure enough, there are dinosaurs there. And the T-Rex, which is pretty much the big villain of the movie, finds
Land of the Dinosaurs, 1977.
Land of the Dinosaurs?
Planet of Dinosaurs.
Oh, Planet of the Dinosaurs. Okay, yeah. But it pretty much finds a Retosaurus. It's a different color. It's never actually specified that this is a Retosaurus, but the design looks almost exactly the same. And the T-Rex just wrecks. No pun intended. Wrecks the Retosaurus. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, they were just pretty much using dinosaurs left and right because they were like, this is a good go-to monster that we have. We don't have to put a lot of thought into it. We really don't have to put a lot of effort into it. We're going to use creatures that already existed. Dinosaurs were so freaking popular that by the time the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms came out in 1953, the Retosaurus is completely fictional, but he's portrayed as a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like, nothing special about him. He wasn't irradiated or anything like that. He was just a fictional dinosaur that existed.
If I remember correctly, the only thing about him that would have been in any way not dinosaur-like would have been the flame breath they wanted to have out of its nostrils, like was on the posters and whatnot. Wasn't it a budget reason that they weren't able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, at the time, just dealing with, like, stop motion and all that kind of stuff, they were just basically like, yeah, they released in the posters, which is one of my favorite film posters of all time. He was exhaling smoke out of his nose. And they were basically like, okay, like, you know, we want to do that. We want to make it to where he can do that. But then once they actually start making the movie, they're like, there's no way we're going to be able to make him do this. So, no, they scrapped it to where, yeah, he was just a regular dinosaur. But not knowing what they did, that poster, you know, the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms is directly responsible for inspiring the 1954 Gojira film. And that poster itself is what inspired Godzilla to even have atomic breath.
Right.
So if they hadn't have thought, oh, yeah, let's just have smoke coming out of his nose, but without even thinking, can we even do this? You know, they were ambitious enough to do it. Godzilla likely wouldn't even have his atomic breath.
Which, he may have just been a giant dinosaur himself.
Yeah, just like the Retosaurus. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine Godzilla without his atomic breath, but I mean,
hey, TriStar tried.
Oh, yeah, they tried. they tried. But
poor Zilla.
Well, way to sully the episode there by bringing up.
It'll be all right. Hey, you can argue that that's an American attempt at a kaiju at some point.
It was a very good American attempt at a kaiju. It was a terrible attempt at Godzilla. But if any of you are new listeners and y'all want to hear more in-depth stuff about the 1998 TriStar Godzilla, by all means, go and listen to it. We're not going to go into too much more detail about it, but trust me, guys.
Legitimately, that's probably my favorite episode you've done.
If you know the story behind the 1998 Godzilla, and what we could have possibly gotten? Trust me, guys. The 1998 Godzilla is an Academy Award winner compared to some of the scripts that were passed out. And they were basically like, yeah, let's do this. And just like, no. But, you know, whatever. We're not here to talk about the 1998 Godzilla. But I am thinking about doing an episode called In Defense of the 1998 Godzilla. Because I legitimately like that movie.
I would love to hear that.
So, you know, going ahead and get ready. You know, get the hype train going for that. So, anywho. Dinosaurs were the big thing. Then along comes King Kong.
Yeah.
And changes the game. You know. Comes up with a giant gorilla. Part of the whole bit about him going up against the T-Rex, or as he's known in the novel and in numerous scripts, is just simply a man-eater.
Yeah.
He's never really specified as a T-Rex. Marion C. Cooper called him a T-Rex, but Willis O'Brien said that he styled the model off of a Carno, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so... No, it's never really been specified what type of dinosaur it is. But yeah, so King Kong comes around. And so that's whenever Hollywood is like, okay, we don't have to do just dinosaurs. Like, yeah. We can come up with some original stuff. And so then fast forward about 20 years, and they come out with The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. And The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms is a massive hit. Again, this was an original monster that they had come up with. So the two biggest American kaiju, basically, at that point in time are King Kong and the Redisaurus. Yeah. They both predate Godzilla. A lot of people, for some reason, don't like to admit that. I don't know why.
Look, The Beast of 20,000 Fathoms, it has the unfortunate... It was followed up so quickly by Gojira, and then that itself is when Toho brought... All that Godzilla stuff, it got left in the dark, unfortunately.
Well, and also, like, I think one of the biggest mistakes that they made with The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms is that it was a popular movie. You know, King Kong did well. Beast did well. So that inspired Gojira. And so then they come out with Gojira, and then immediately after Gojira, they come up with Godzilla Raids Again.
Yeah.
And then, not long after that, I'm not going to get into the details of it, but with, like, all the stuff with, you know, Willis O'Brien and the King Kong copyrights and all that kind of mess, ended up getting King Kong versus Godzilla.
Basically, they didn't give anybody else a chance to breathe. They just kept going.
They just kept coming and kept coming. But, for whatever reason, Hollywood refused to look at, like, hey, we are literally the reason that your monster... is popular.
Yeah.
We are literally the reason that your monster exists. Because if it wasn't for our two top guys, King Kong and the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, Gojira would have never... I mean, there was early scripts for something like Gojira, but he would have been...
He'd have been a dinosaur.
Originally he was going to be a giant octopus. Yeah. There was a movie that they were looking at doing a while, like way back, obviously. And it was going to be very similar to Gojira, but it was going to be about a giant octopus. And then because of...
Well, they are devious.
Because of, like, the Redisaurus and all that kind of stuff, they decided, now let's make it more
reptilian.
Yeah, something like that, which I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah, no. Look, there is absolutely a place for a giant octopus or giant squid type creature in literature and in film. That is absolutely a thing. But it would not have had the same impact had it been a giant octopus.
No.
Full stop. It wouldn't.
No, it absolutely wouldn't have.
You know, you said that it probably would have been a lot more dinosaur stuff had that trend continued. I mean... Journey to the Center of the Earth had dinosaurs in it, and that book came out in the 1860s.
Yeah.
So dinosaurs had been the main thing with go-to monsters for literally half a century.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, whenever you're in that time period, and many of these dinosaurs are just being discovered around the time that movies are able to be made and all of that kind of stuff, I mean, at the end of the day... You know, they could, honestly, they would sit there and kind of be like, why go through all the rigmarole of trying to come up with our own monsters when we literally have these giant, like, 30-foot monsters that actually existed. Like, so.
And I want to clarify to make sure people don't realize, I do know how math works. I don't mean a half a century before the Rhetosaurus was shown in 1953 from 1960-something. I meant a half a century from when the first full skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus was discovered in 1912.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that's abundantly clear here.
Yeah.
I do know how math works.
Yeah. he's smarter than he sounds.
I promise.
But, and so am I. I know I sound like a redneck, y'all, but, like, I mean, you know, no.
You're genuinely one of the more intelligent people I've ever met.
But, so, anywho, so Gojira comes around and pretty much takes the world by storm. Hollywood sees how popular it is. The original movie came out in 1954. They decided to Americanize it in 1956. That's whenever the Americanized version called Godzilla, King of the Monsters, came over here to the States, starring Raymond Burr and all that kind of stuff. And that's whenever this trend began.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, I'll go on ahead and say it's almost as if Hollywood back then was just flat out lazy. Because, like I said earlier, why are they going to even bother trying to come up with original and unique monsters to use whenever they had dinosaurs at their disposal? So now Godzilla comes around and
Japan's doing their job for
they're basically like, why bother coming up with these types of monsters and all of that whenever Japan's doing it for us? We'll just ship them over here and insert some scenes with well-known American actors and all of that kind of stuff, and in some cases change the names of the kaiju. Changing in Godzilla, the Americanized version of Godzilla Raids Again, which is a terrible film, by the way. Like, the Japanese version is far superior to, far, far superior to the American version. But even then, I'm not a super big fan of Godzilla Raids Again, period. Like, get on my website and check out my blog, where I, ranked all of the Showa-era Godzilla films of how I personally feel about them. Like, from least favorite to favorite. But, yeah, in the Americanized version of Godzilla Raids Again, they retitled it Gigantus the Fire Monster. So he was called Gigantus. And they swapped roars with Godzilla and Anguirus.
You're going to give the most iconic monster roar in cinematic history
to
another monster?
Here's the thing. You know, at the time, they did not know that Godzilla was going to hit off the way that he did, so they probably was like, eh, you know, whatever. But the biggest thing that always got me about Godzilla Raids Again is, like, did they not realize that they had already released a Godzilla film? People would...
It's like they just didn't pay attention.
They would honestly put two and two together and be like, hey, we saw another movie like this. It was called Godzilla, King of the Monsters. That's the same guy. Like... I don't know. It's like they were just, like I said, Hollywood was just flat out lazy. They didn't want to come up with original monsters because nature provided them. And then after Gojira came around, they didn't want to come up with original monsters again because Japan was providing them.
Yeah, they're pretty much copying off the smart kids' paperwork.
And so, naturally, you know, a whole slew of ripoffs start happening because of Godzilla and all that kind of stuff. In The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, the Rhetosaurus was awakened by an atomic bomb going off. It didn't affect him, like it didn't radiate him or anything like that, but it is what woke him up. however, after Gojira came out, or the same year that Gojira came out, there was another film that came out, and it was called Them. And it dealt with giant ants. And this movie, I also have an episode on that. Go check it out if you haven't listened to it yet. But it basically just deals with irradiated ants that have become giant. And so this is like the first, like, you know, other than the Rhetosaurus, this is the first time in quite some time that Hollywood is basically like, let's do something original.
Yeah.
Let's come up with something that's ours, that someone else hasn't done yet, or that it hasn't hit, like, a big boom or anything like that. So they come up with the giant ants in Them, which eventually started the giant bug craze. Because if anything, and
it's never stopped.
It is still very, very common to be done to this day.
Within the last 10 years, a movie came out called Big Ass Spider.
Yeah.
Just, takes place in New Orleans, by the way.
But for those of you that don't know, he pointed that out because he and I live in Louisiana. But anywho, like, in case you guys haven't figured it out yet, Hollywood is very trendy. Mm-hmm. They find something that works, and it's not necessarily Hollywood. I use Hollywood as a very generic term for basically American filmmakers and all that kind of stuff. There are
I think that could be applied to certain authors as well.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of studios and all that kind of stuff that make movies that are not based in Hollywood, but, you know, Hollywood pretty much is just taking on a title of its own, to where it's pretty much they use Hollywood to talk about a big budget American made movie or something like that. So yeah, Hollywood is very much about trends. We already saw the trend that began with the dinosaurs, and then Them comes out, and now the trend with the big bugs are starting, and you get things like Tarantula, you know, and all of that kind of stuff.
Day of the Scorpion.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're pretty much just kind of really sticking with, and all the while that they're doing this, they're still Americanizing
Godzilla films.
And then eventually, whenever Gamera, you know, kicks off in the 60s, they start Americanizing the Gamera film. So,
which, this is an unpopular opinion, but I've always been more attached to Gamera than Godzilla.
I mean, it is an unpopular opinion. I mean,
it doesn't make
no difference to me, really. I mean, unfortunately for me, I do not have nostalgia on my side whenever it comes to Gamera. You guys will know, I've talked about it enough times, I've known who King Kong, Godzilla, Mothra, Rodan, King Ghidorah, I've known who all those kaiju were ever since I was like 6, 7 years old, something like that. I have a lifelong attachment to those kaiju. Whenever it comes to Gamera, I was well into my teens before I even found out Gamera existed. And you guys know the reason for that, because of my upbringing and just not being able to get a hold to any good VHS tapes or anything like that. And so, yeah, I was very, you know, almost, I'll say nearly grown, probably past grown. I was probably like 18, 19 years old before I even found out that Gamera existed. And I was like, what is this? Yeah. You know?
I can tell you exactly where I first discovered Gamera. Dragon Ball. Because when they need to go and put the fire out on the Ox King's Mountain, Roshi, being Roshi, cannot ride on the Flying Nimbus.
Uh-huh.
So he summons baby Gamela, uh-huh, which is a small turtle that rotates through the air with rockets coming out of its holes where its arms, legs, and head go. And I remember thinking, Gamela, is that anything? And we happened to be going to Blockbuster that night, showing my age here, going through all the different foreign movie sections and everything, trying to find it, Gamela, Gamela, Gamela. My brother goes, this one says Gamera. Do you think that's the same thing? I picked it up and looked at him like, that's a turtle. That's got to be it.
Yeah, that's a him. He's got thrusters coming out of his arms and legs.
Thank you, Akira Toriyama.
For those of you who aren't aware, Chris is a diehard DBZ fan. And he's
very much so.
He's a big Gamera fan. He's a big Mothra fan. And he's a big Ninja Turtle fan.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, you've heard me talk about numerous times that I like kaiju, alien, predator, Superman, Thor, like those are some of my big franchises that I'm into. Those are some of the big franchises that he's into.
Yeah, I am currently contemplating buying a 3D printer so I can print a sized to fit Shredder's armor for myself. So
that's gonna be, I'm really not trying to insult you, but that's gonna be an endeavor for sure, because Chris is very well built. Like, he played football in high school, you know, like, he's 6'2", like, 300-something pounds.
Not quite 300.
Not anymore.
I'm 290, thank you very much.
Okay, simmer down.
Ouch.
But anyway, yeah, he's a well-built guy. Basically, if he lived back in the ancient days, he would be one of the ones that they would give him a shield and an axe and put him in the front line and basically say, go get him.
Gee, thanks, guys.
Well, I mean, you would.
You're not wrong.
They're like, he's big. Like, he should scare some people. So, yeah.
I promise we're trying to discuss that question. I really do. It's just, I've got severe ADHD. I like to call it my squirrel brain, and sometimes things just get in there and won't go, and I have to vocalize them.
I mean, I've already have a bad habit more than once of going down the rabbit hole. I mean, I do that by myself on my podcast and everything. And so, yeah, whenever you have me that's very easily distracted and can go down the rabbit hole, and then you have Chris that legitimately has ADHD that will also go down a rabbit hole, we both kind of have a bad habit of, like, there's been more than once we're like, okay, all right, back on track, which is what I need to do right now, back on track. But so, anywho, the big bugs take off. And they're still Americanizing Godzilla films. They've begun to Americanize the Gamera films and all of that. And it's not too long after that. You know, they're still making dinosaur movies here and there and all that kind of stuff. But it's
slowed down.
It's very much slowed down, because now it's kind of like, what kind of, I mean, from a narrative perspective, a lot of times you could sit there and be like, can we really make a very entertaining or scary monster movie where, like, the T-Rex is literally the main threat whenever we've had a giant gorilla in a movie, a giant radiated lizard that could breathe atomic breath in a movie, a giant, you know, the Rhetosaurus in another movie. Now you've got giant bugs, giant spiders, and things like that, you know. It's getting to the point where it's like, okay, we've kind of overplayed our hand with the dinosaurs. And so they're still making dinosaur films, but they have tremendously slowed down. And, you know, I thought about this earlier today when I was thinking about, like, what some of the talking points of the episode could be and all that. I'm just going to go ahead and mention that I think it's pretty crazy that dinosaurs are such a prominent thing that to this day in 2022, they're still shelling out, like, money-making dinosaur movies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that changed, you know, the game changed in the 90s whenever Jurassic Park came.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think 1993 Jurassic Park, that's probably what the big thing.
That's pretty much what put dinosaurs back on the map. And then
that was such a big deal that before the book was even published, there was a bidding war between studios to get that.
Mm-hmm. To the point where the movie and the book released on the same day, which I have a first print of
Jurassic Park. I remember reading it, and she got mad at me.
I mean, mine, you know, it's...
Well, she got mad at me because she had a copy specifically for reading. I didn't realize...
You opened the one that was meant for display.
The one that's meant for display that's signed by Michael Crichton.
Yep.
She was mad.
Yeah.
I did not finish that book. I put that book back and picked up where I left off with the other one.
So, yeah. So, I think it's pretty cool that dinosaurs are still very much a huge moneymaker to this day. And not just in movies, but in video games and all of that kind of stuff. But, anywho.
TV shows also.
So, we move further along into the 60s and 70s and all of that kind of stuff. And Hollywood decides to jump on another trend. Though this trend never really... You know, I say 60s and 70s. It could have gotten started in the 50s as well. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was the 60s. But Hollywood decides to jump on another trend, and that trend being mythology.
Yeah.
They pretty much were like, okay, dinosaurs have pretty much done their thing. We're Americanizing the Japanese kaiju stuff that's coming out. But they still wanted to come up with something original. So they would come out with movies based on, like, Greek mythology and things like that. Or they would just, you know, old tales and all of that kind of stuff that had mythological creatures such as dragons or cyclops or, you know, the Kraken or anything like that. Like, and they would just do that again instead of coming up with their own unique monsters. They were still borrowing things from other cultures and other stories and stuff like that, which I've got no problem with that. Like, I very much, you know, you guys know I love classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. Movies that was made anywhere between, like, the 30s and the 60s. I mean, don't get, I like the 70s too, but I have a soft spot for movies that were made, like, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. I grew up watching them whenever I was a kid. I grew up watching the Universal Monsters. a lot of people are not aware. I'm going to be talking about this movie whenever I do my Ray Harryhausen month in June. The original, the Jason and the Argonauts, the original, not the two-part miniseries that they did in 2000, I believe, which I liked it as well. Yeah. But I've been a fan of the original Jason and the Argonauts movie arguably just as long as King Kong or Godzilla.
My first exposure to that movie, they showed a couple of scenes in one of my classes in, I think, first grade.
I saw it in a hotel room. Just like I saw King Kong. Just like I saw a pretty good chunk of Showa-era Godzilla films. I mean, we were just flipping through channels one day, and I can't remember what part exactly it was that we came across, but yeah, it was on. And we watched it, and naturally, just like everybody else, I walked away thinking that the skeleton fight scene was about the most awesome thing
yes.
I've ever seen on TV at
the
time.
To the point that they have used that in various episodes of Johnny Quest throughout the years. Anytime they would revamp that series, they would use Medusa, and they would use those skeletons in different episodes.
Medusa was a Clash of the Titans.
But I'm saying, they took a lot from that, is what I'm saying.
But, anywho, fun fact, Ray Harryhausen did another film called The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad that also deals with mythology and all of that, with a cyclops and a dragon and all of that kind of stuff. There's also a fight that Sinbad has, a duel with a skeleton. And after the movie came out, everyone thought that that duel with the skeleton worked out so well, and people talked about it, and like, man, it was so cool. The stop motion was so awesome and everything like that. Whenever he did Jason and the Argonauts, he said, I'm going to revisit that skeleton duel, but I'm going to up the ante a pretty good bit. And he absolutely did.
I had a nightmare about that skeleton, and I'll tell you about it when we're off here, because I don't want to eat up more time on this.
About the skeleton on
Sinbad, about that whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right,
I'll tell you when we're off here, because again, I don't want to eat up any more time.
Yeah, we've already been rambling for 37 minutes.
We are getting to the question. We really are. We're working our way through it.
But anywho, so yeah, like, you know, all the way up into the 80s, basically, we're still talking about Hollywood just basically using dinosaurs, mythology, and Americanizing Japanese kaiju films and all that. Godzilla gets rebooted. And what does America do? Even though the Showa era had really fallen off the rails, a lot of the Americanized versions of the Showa era films were pretty much just like, no, these are no good. These are worse than the Japanese bad Godzilla movies and all of that kind of stuff. So as soon as the Godzilla reboot takes place, what do they decide to do? They Americanized the Godzilla reboot.
Of course
they do. And they make it to where it is a direct sequel to the original 1954 Gojira. They get Raymond Burr to come back and reprise his role. Like, it's just like, ugh. Like, wow, you clowns never learn. If you guys hear any background noise, that's my dog. She's walking around. She has little long nails, and the particular room that we're in is like a wooden floor, so you get to hear that click, 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 click everywhere she goes.
And that's partially my fault. She's an absolutely beautiful little dog, and anytime I see her, I just want to pick her up, but...
She is a mix between a corgi and a collie, people, and the term that people refer to that is a borgie. So if you want to know what she looks like, just get online, look up borgie, and just picture her as red, like bright red hair with like a white belly, and that's pretty much what she looks like.
Beautiful.
And you guys are going to be jealous that I have her.
Oh, yeah.
But, so yeah. Like, they're still jumping on the Americanized versions of kaiju films and everything. They pretty much learned their lesson after the return of Godzilla. They're like, okay, we're not Americanizing anymore. We're just going to straight up dub the Godzilla films that come over and all of that kind of stuff. And so that's what they started doing then. And they would come out with a few, like, kaiju films and everything. Like, hey, this franchise has been going on for a while. The Godzilla franchise only holds the Guinness Book of World Records record for the longest running film franchise of all time. So they're like, let's come up with our own, like, little kaiju movies here and there. I'm not talking about Hollywood, though, people. I'm talking about, like,
Korea,
The Asylum and stuff like that. Like, Like the type of kaiju movies that would premiere on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yes.
Like the bad ones. I'm talking like Komodo versus Cobra and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, lots of, like, they made lots of spider ones. They made lots of, let's do a giant snake or let's do a giant
Titanoboa, lizard. That's one right there.
Yes.
They, Anaconda versus Boa. And
which I believe Anaconda versus Boa is in the Anaconda film franchise,
isn't
it? Not
only is that in the Anaconda film franchise, but Anaconda versus Lake Placid is in both of those franchises.
There's an Anaconda, versus,
an Anaconda
Lake
versus Lake Placid.
I'm just going to pretend that you didn't even say that. So, yeah.
It's awful.
No.
You like bad movies.
Dadgummit, Kurt. Now I'm going to have to go watch that mess. Are you serious?
Hey, I've got a movie I've been wanting to let you borrow for a while now. I don't know if you're going to watch it. It's called King Cobra. It's got Pat Morita in it.
I'll watch it. I've got no problem with CGI snakes.
It's not CGI. It's a puppet. It looks very realistic.
Wow. Okay. What year was it made?
90.
I'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. for those of you that don't know, I am terrified. I mean, I'm man enough to admit terrified of snakes. Like, I do not. I mean, like, I come across one and, like, I shut down. Like, I have difficulty functioning. I know a lot of people might judge me or laugh at me for that, and I don't want to hear all the nonsense of they're more afraid of you than you are of them. I don't care. I'm still scared of them.
There's survival that, reasons for that.
Yeah, I know there is. So, yeah, I don't know. I do not deal with them.
My wife is deathly afraid of lizards, and I'm talking like geckos.
My soon-to-be wife is deathly afraid of mice. Like, to the point to where...
is she really?
Yes, she is.
I'm
like,
sorry, I'm not trying to laugh.
We found a baby rabbit outside about a year and a half ago or something like that, and I picked it up. Its leg was injured. And, yeah, we took it to a rehab place down in Lafayette. But, yeah, I found it, and I asked Emily, I was like, do you want to pet it? Do you want to, you know, anything like that? And she just stared at it for a minute, and she said no. And I was like, why? I was like, come on. I'm like, it's a bunny. Like, go ahead, pet it and everything. And she straight up told me, looks too much like a mouse. Refused to touch it. And I was just like, that's some strange logic. But, I mean, they call them irrational fears for a reason.
Very much so.
But, anywho, rabbit hole, yeah, back on track.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then we start getting the terrible type kaiju films and all of that, like we talked about, like the kind that premiere on Sci-Fi Original Channel and, I mean, you know, Sci-Fi Original Movie and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, we pretty much got the Asylum. Don't make it seem as if I'm bad-mouthing the Asylum. Believe it or not, I love the Asylum. I love their cheesy, horrible movies that they come out with. They came out with a kaiju version of Moby Dick in 2010. It is called Moby Dick 2010.
I remember you telling me about that.
It is horrible.
Is it?
But I'll watch it from start to finish. Like, Moby Dick is my favorite book of all time, people. So if it's Moby Dick related, a lot of times I will get it. And whenever I found out, like, oh, there's a Moby Dick that's set in present day, at the time present day in 2010, and they've supersized Moby Dick to where he's like literally like a kaiju whale like thing. I was just like,
to be at least three times the size of a blue whale.
He was pretty massive, and so I was like, oh man, like I've got like I think he swallowed a yacht or something like that, like ridiculously large, like if he could get into the sand, he could probably go head to head with a sandworm. Like, stupid
wow,
large.
Wow, that's yeah. Very large.
Yes, very, very large. But anywho, so yeah. We started getting terrible kaiju films like that. And so then, finally, we end up getting a batch of directors and stuff that loved kaiju films as they were growing up. I'm talking about people like Guillermo del Toro.
Peter Jackson.
Yes, where Peter Jackson does a remake of King Kong.
Which is an outstanding
fast foot, I'll tell anybody, I think it's the greatest remake of all time. But, so Peter Jackson does King Kong. And then Guillermo del Toro does Pacific Rim in 2013. And, you know, the kaiju genre is starting to expand more at this point in time. That happened in 2013. 2014, we get the legendary version of Godzilla. Then we get a new King Kong movie in 2017. Then Godzilla King of the Monsters. And now we're pretty much at pinnacle kaiju popularity once again. like it used to be back in like the 60s and 70s, where it seemed like every time you turned around, new kaiju films were getting made and all that. We're pretty much back to those days at this point in time. I mean, a Godzilla TV show just got greenlit like 3 or 4 days ago at the time of this recording. I realize that not all of my listeners follow me on social media, so if you hadn't heard about that, you can pause the show to fanboy out or fangirl out if you want to. But yes, that Apple, it's going to be an Apple TV original show. I will be subscribing to Apple TV just for this.
I subscribe to it for C, and I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, but, well, you know, I just got me a brand new iPhone for work. And I think it said that, like, if you have an iPhone, like, Apple TV is free. I think I had heard or something that like that.
Thing, but I don't know if you're going to be able to do the work phone. You're going to have to look into that.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I mean, I was told use it as if it was my own personal phone. So, I mean, but, like, I'm keeping both phones. Boy, I mean, that's just me. Guys, I'm a big fan of work-life, personal-life separation. So whenever they're like, we're giving you a cell phone for work and all that kind of stuff, you can cut loose your other one. And I was, nope, I'm good.
They would have done the same for me because I got certain customers that will call incessantly.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, I'm good. So I'm just gonna have two phones from here on out. But anywho, so yeah, we're in pinnacle kaiju form, just like we were back in the 60s and 70s. We have big Hollywood productions of kaiju films being made. We have more traditional Japanese kaiju films that are starting to get made again. Like, it's just super, super popular at this point in time. Sorry, my dog started scratching and her knee was like hitting the floor, and it was just like knock, 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 knock. Yeah, just like that. Sansa. Chill. Sorry about that, people. But see, this is why I need a studio. but you know, whatever. I like leaving stuff like that in my podcast because it's
the human factor. Yeah, people enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. You know, whatever. But so anywho, I know that was a lot of stuff.
Well, we talked through all that to get to the rest of the meat of the story.
Yeah, like, so basically, like, what if
back they had instead of Americanizing Godzilla, instead of trying to do all that, what if they had taken the Gojira movie as a challenge for what can we do in response to this? Like, what if we continue to make our original giant monsters like the Redosaurus? What could have been from that?
I can tell you what I think. What would have been two things. So after the popularity of Godzilla, I think that they missed the mark by not moving forward with more King Kong stuff almost immediately. And the other thing is, I think that if they would have started shelling out movies and actually made good movies, the Redosaurus by now would be a household name.
I was going to say, they might have made more movies about the Redosaurus. They would have been different Redosauri, but still.
I mean, like, and, you know, I've talked to you about it numerous times. I've mentioned it more than once on the podcast, I believe. I really wish they would have done more with the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. That could have been a franchise. That could have been, I mean, I don't understand why they haven't even remade it yet. There's not even been talks of remaking it.
While you were initially talking about that, but I'm like, let me not disturb or distract the train of thought any more than I already have. There might be some concern that because they have technology, they might overdo it. I know that has come up at times when the possibility of a remake of Jaws has been bandied about. Uh-huh. The argument is that, well, with CGI and the advances in that, we can make the shark more visible. It's like, that's the problem, though. You take away the suspense if you do that.
The closest I ever want to see of a Jaws remake is just give us the original movie, but just update the shark with CGI. And it could work. Yep. Because I saw on Facebook one time, it was like a side-by-side or like a top-and-bottom kind of thing, where they showed a scene from Jaws the Revenge, which I know that people say Jaws the Revenge is like the worst Jaws movie ever. No, that title belongs to Jaws 3. I don't care what anybody says. I will watch Jaws the Revenge before. I will watch that movie 5 times in a row before I watch Jaws 3. I'm not going to do it.
Jaws Revenge is the damn roar. That's the roar. Dude, shark.
Yeah,
that is the only thing that, to me, makes that movie difficult.
We're both massive Jaws fans, by the way, people. Which, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and make this announcement. I'm planning on doing a mega episode on Jaws in July. So, my birthday is in July. My birthday is July 6th. I found out a few years ago that if you do the math with the timelines, time frame, and all that kind of stuff, the climax of Jaws actually takes place on my birthday.
No crit.
Well, the attack happens on the 4th of July. Well, you know, whenever he attacks in the pond.
And then there's the mayor to sign on.
Yeah, and then there's the next day they go out there to start hunting the shark.
Which would be the 5th.
The 5th, and then they stay out all night long, and then the actual climax of the movie is on the 6th, my birthday.
That is outstanding.
It is my ultimate birthday movie. And guys, like, I'm telling you, Jaws is one of those films, like, I've got it like 99% memorized. I have a first printing of the book. Like, it's in bad condition. It was in bad condition whenever I purchased it. I can't even bring myself to open it. I do have a reading copy of it.
My mother with Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I own numerous versions and editions of the movie on DVD and Blu-ray. I've got it on 4K.
He's got multiple articles of clothing with the shark on it.
My fiance, she was for my birthday last year. She thought she had, like, I still thought it was freaking awesome. She thought she had found, like, a printed copy of, like, the Jaws script. And I knew it wasn't original. She knew it wasn't original. She just thought that she had found a printed copy of the script. And she gives it to me, and it's just, you know, me being me. I know that movie like the back of my hand. I flipped to, like, towards the middle, and I read, like, 4 pages. And I'm like, this isn't of the movie. And she's like, what? And I'm like, this is the novel. This is the book. And she's like, I got you a script version of the book. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I was like, no. I said, no, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm perfectly okay with this.
That's the thought that counts. That's a freaking cool gift.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm like, you know how much I love Jaws, and you thought to give this for me. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. But anywho, I know, you know, rabbit hole, but before I get out of the rabbit hole, I'm just going to come and stick my head out the top of the rabbit hole and go back to, in Jaws the Revenge, there was a scene that I saw on Facebook where they showed the original scene of the shark chasing Michael, whenever he is chasing him, he's going, like, through the ship and all of that kind of stuff. On top was, like, the original scene. Underneath, a fan CGI'd the shark. It kept the same look, the same design of it and everything, but it made it so much more smoother with its swimming and all of that kind of stuff. And so I had always just been of the mind of, like, do not remake Jaws, do not touch Jaws, leave Jaws alone. I saw that scene and I was just like, no, they can absolutely, like,
update it
with just a CGI shark, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. But for real, Hollywood, please don't remake Jaws. Don't do that to me. But anywho, so, what do I think, what type of kaiju we would have ended up getting had Hollywood decided, let's come up with more things? Well, you've already heard my opinion about Kong and the Redosaurus, that I think they absolutely missed the mark, because it was no secret that the Redosaurus inspired Godzilla. What the popularity of Godzilla, even in 1962 with King Kong versus Godzilla, they could have done another Redosaurus movie right then and there. The Return of the Redosaurus, or, you know, Return of the Beast or something other like that. And they could have used the tagline, the monster that inspired Godzilla.
Exactly.
That would have drawn people in. That would have made people be like, oh yeah, we got to go check that out. I mean, like, because there's so many people out there that, you know, they're diehard Godzilla fans. Not only do they not know that the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms inspired Godzilla, they've never even heard of the Redosaurus. They've never even heard of the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. You know, like,
which is funny, because if they had ever, at any point in time in their life, watched Malcolm in the Middle, there's a brief moment during that little montage thing at the beginning with all the credits where it's like different shots of the TV. You can see the Rattlesaurus in one of those.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. So, anywho, I do think they missed the mark by not doing more King Kong stuff and more Rattlesaurus stuff. I think they tried really hard with the big bug craze, but they kind of, like...
That was more throwing things at the wall and seeing what would stick.
Pretty much. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, they started the big bug craze in the 50s that went on through the 60s and the 70s, and it's still like a cult following type genre, but it's not near as big even as it was back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla kind of, in a way, beat them to the punch with Son of Godzilla with Q-Manga. They were basically like, you've got big monsters? That's cute. We're going to make one that's the size of Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, so then they do a kaiju-sized spider and all of that. Now, as far as, like, the underlying themes, you know, the underlying theme of Godzilla is anti-nuclear. The underlying theme of, like, Godzilla versus Hedorah is anti-pollution. You know? There's reasons behind that with the whole anti-radiation thing. I mean, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the atomic bombs and all of that kind of stuff. You know, whenever they made the original Gojira, that was still very fresh. There were people that remembered that going off. That, you know, like, it was extremely fresh. So, yeah, to see a movie about a monster that was the atomic weapons personified, like, it was... It stirred up a lot of feelings for Japan and all of that kind of stuff. But now, as far as America goes, at that point in time, there was really... I mean, what could an underlying theme for one of their kaiju have been for anything other than this is a giant monster and he wrecks stuff? I mean, that could be a good underlying thing for America.
Well, like, I mean. But you also got to realize we did a lot of nuclear testing of our own.
Oh, yeah.
On our own land, like Alamogordo specifically, regions in Arizona, Texas, New Mexico. There's been a lot of pollution issues even throughout our own country. There's been deforestation issues. There's been encroaching upon wildlife's territory to the point that you now see mountain lions and raccoons and deer and whatnot foraging in trash cans in California. I don't think it's a stretch at all to imagine that, you know, with pushing out into the forest and causing these animals to leave, we might disturb something that is from that area. Like, you could get a giant leopard, you could get giant wild boar, you know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that would be pretty cool. I mean, and that would go with the same thing that, like, a lot of times Hollywood went with, would just say, hey, we're just gonna, for our big kaiju or big monster, we're just gonna create a larger version of an animal that already existed. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just wish they would have done more of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, like I said, way back at the beginning of the episode, it was almost as if, you know, they were using nature to do their thing, but then whenever Japan started coming out with Godzilla and Gamera and all that, they were basically like, oh, we're just going to let them do the job for us, and then we're going to, we're basically just going to Americanize, you know, their movies and all of that. So, yeah, it's just, it's aggravating to where it's like, it's a lot of missed opportunities on, the thing with America, and, you know, just wanting to borrow, mm-hmm. instead of coming up with their own original stuff. And, like, piggybacking off of monsters or animals that nature already provided. Then reaching into mythology like they did, or like Ray Harryhausen did and all of that kind of stuff, you know, with Clash of the Titans and
all, Cyclops.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Just mythological creatures and all of that. You said a while back that you don't think Americans would have really dealt with, like, the giant robots.
Yeah.
And things like that. I mean, like, we did that a bit with Pacific Rim. But even then, even though the Jaegers of Pacific Rim were supposed to be, like, the big draw and all that kind of stuff, like, they're the heroes and all this kind of stuff, everybody was just like, we want more monsters.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean,
and you know, probably the only thing I can think of that America did with any kind of giant robots are the Transformers franchise. And even that
came from Japan.
Came from Japan.
Yeah.
That's a, you want to have a fun time, tell Ian GoBots is better than Transformers. Watch his head explode.
I already watched his head explode whenever I proved to him that Mobile Suit Gundam came before Robotech.
I wish I could have seen that.
But,
I think that they would have probably, if they were going to use a lot of American, like America was going to make their own kaiju, it either would have ended up just being simply giant versions of the animals we have, or they would have, they probably would have pulled some from native mythology, because a lot of native tribes have mythology about, you know, tricksters that are like in the forms of coyotes or giant eagles, things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would like to see more, you know, more kaiju that are giant birds, to be honest with you. I'm not talking about just flyers like Rodan or something like that. I mean a bird.
Yeah.
Like the Rock from like Middle Eastern mythology and all of that, yeah, kind of absolutely. Stuff and everything. Like, I would love to see more like just giant birds, because guys, I don't, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, it's just a bird or, you know, something yeah. like that. Like me and Chris, like we were at Buffalo Wild Wings over the weekend and watching the UFC fights. And I came across a video, which was a golden eagle being loosed by its handler. And this eagle collided with, tackled, and kept down a full grown deer.
Yeah.
Until
until
the handler got to it to like, okay, we caught it kind of thing. Like, and that's just a golden eagle. That's not one of the biggest, like strongest birds that there is. Like that, golden I mean, eagles well, are, it is, but it's not the top size one.
Of an American bald eagle. But there are, you know, a cassowary is probably the most dangerous bird in existence. It's basically a velociraptor.
Have you seen some of the bigger vultures?
Yes.
Out there, them things look vicious.
Yes, they do.
Like, part of me is like, I'm glad they only, you know,
have you ever seen a shoebill stork?
No.
It looks like a dinosaur, but it is a very real bird.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, but anywho, so I would like to see more bird stuff in the future. I liked what you were talking about with the underlying themes, like dealing with America, like even dealing with like Native American stuff, where like, you know, these monsters or giant animals could come out to basically be like stopping. The underlying theme could be like, let nature be nature.
Exactly.
Like, you're expanding too much. We have enough shopping malls, you know, we have enough parking lots and all that and all that mess. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it could be a giant.
You can look on YouTube and you can pull up anybody's footage that lives in Southern California, and you'll see footage of a bear or a mountain lion digging through their trash. Because they were there first, and then we tore their trees and tore their homes down and built. It's not at all out of the realm of possibility for a movie to deal with, okay, you've done this enough that now you've awoken something that is supposed to guard these beings. And Studio Ghibli has experimented with that with Princess Mononoke.
That's a fantastic movie.
Yes, it is. You know how I did Bluthmas for December this last year? This coming December, I'm doing all Studio Ghibli movies.
Keep that announcement in mind, people, for his podcast for Christmas. He's going to be doing what he just said. So if you already have the list of movies, you can go ahead and list them now.
The only one I know for certain I'm going to be talking about is My Neighbor Totoro, and that's because that is my daughter's favorite of those movies.
I was quite fond of it whenever I was a child. I haven't seen it in many, many years, so
I
can't.
I'm going to be staying away from something. I'm not going to cover Ponyo. I'm probably not going to cover Kiki's Delivery Service. I will probably cover The Cat Returns, and I have a feeling Ian's going to want to join me on that one. But the others will be decided when I get closer to.
Yeah, so keep that announcement in mind, people. Something for you to look forward to Christmas time.
To go back a little ways to what you said about wanting to see more giant birds, it's arguable that, funny enough, Disney kind of encroached on that topic with The Rescuers Down Under, because Marahute was a golden eagle that was large enough for a person to ride it.
This is true.
That is a giant animal.
Yeah.
And, like, when you're talking about that golden eagle that kept down that deer, golden eagle in the wild, they kill deer. They fly down on them, they crack them in the skull and kill them, and then eat them. Like, that is a very real thing. Birds are absolutely terrifying. You know, we probably would have gotten more things with giant insects of some sort. I can't really think of too many giant insect movies that have used a dragonfly, for example. Or, you know, one of the reasons why Mothra is such a big thing in Japan and why they're able to do that is because there is a very real culture over there that they love moths. They love the imagos. They love that. Satoshi Tajiri, the guy that created Pokemon, when he was a child, he loved collecting bugs. That's how he came up with the idea for Pokemon. So, to think that, you know, there are so many animals that live in this country that could have been turned into kaiju, or that could have been crossed together. Like, you know what an Esquilox is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could have used one of them.
I mean, who knows? The possibilities were honestly endless. And then, you know, they kind of throw us all for a loop whenever it's like, you know, they finally decide, okay, we're going to start coming up with our own kaiju for Pacific Rim. And they don't
look like anything.
They don't resemble like aliens. Yeah, it's just like, okay.
They're just monsters. You can see aspects of certain animals in
Well, them, yeah, like Leatherback sharks. Obviously looked like a gorilla and all that kind of stuff. Slaytern really had the head of like a hammerhead shark and all of that. Like,
like the one that attacks Mako in her flashback, very clearly a crab of some sort.
Oh, yeah. Very much had crustacean origins there.
Or and I think that they probably would have borrowed more from the sea as well. Because, I mean, there's a terrible movie that was made in the early 2000s called Octopus. It's a giant octopus.
I mean, you know, the giant octopus and the giant squid and things like that, that's been used before.
Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't, like, I don't know. Like, there's such a stigma about the word kaiju to where people just immediately think, oh, that's just a Japanese monster or something like that. Like, I have a whole episode just on the kaiju, and it's called Strange Beast. That's what it literally translates to. And no, it does not just mean a Japanese monster. Anything that falls into the category of, like, is it a beast? Do you find it strange? Then that's a kaiju. Like, a Kraken would be a kaiju. King Kong is a kaiju. You really want to get technical with it, a vampire or a werewolf would be a kaiju.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the sake of argument, we're just going to, you know, a kaiju, like, it's a strange giant beast. Yeah. Let's just go with that. And so, yeah, I mean, the giant squid and the giant octopus has made numerous appearances in other films and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, Disney's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, like, the most iconic, well-known scene of the movie is the giant squid attacking and all of that. So,
to the point that there are people that have developed fears based on that alone.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that have, you know, massive fear of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things of, like, we don't know what's down there.
It makes me uncomfortable.
We can't see what's down there and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, you sit there. It's so strange that whenever you sit there, like, if you go to Google Images and you type up just, like, kaiju and go to images, you get a lot of land-based monsters. But then if you go to sea monster, that's when all the sea ones start popping up and everything. Like, I don't know. It's like people have gotten into their brains that a sea monster is something that's different from a kaiju. Whenever you really think about their origins, Godzilla is a sea monster.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, they can't even be thinking, like, if you're going to take the attitude of, well, they're in the sea, that means they can't come on land. Really? Because there's plenty of things that go on land that go in the sea. A friggin' killer whale can beach itself to kill a seal. It's not out of the realm of possibility to think that a killer whale, kaiju of some sort, would have had enough force to walk on the land. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
and to me, the entire argument and the entire conversation can come down to one simple thing, that when America decided to do an actual movie that could have kaiju in it, they based it on a video game, Rampage. That is probably the most American kaiju thing we could possibly get. And isn't it a Japanese game originally?
No.
It's not?
No. It has its inspirations in, like, Japanese monsters and all of that kind of stuff, but no, it's about as American as it gets. Like, yeah. I mean, that's just all it is to it, and yeah. I have an episode on Rampage as well, for those of you that might be interested. But, it was an awesome kaiju movie. It was an awesome monster movie and all that, where they did what they used to do, basically. I mean, you know, I know they borrowed it from the games and all that kind of stuff, but they did what they used to do. They used what nature gave them.
They did, okay, and, you know, as much as they borrowed it from the game, the only one that arguably looked like its game counterpart was George.
Oh, yeah. Lizzie was nothing.
No.
And Ralph especially was nothing. Like,
Lizzie was horrifying.
Lizzie was...
That was the problem.
Lizzie was a realistic version of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what Lizzie was. But yeah, Ralph was definitely the biggest change that they did, just because instead of on two legs, he's on four legs. He can shoot spikes from his tail. Like,
they wasted Joe Manganiello in that movie, though.
Yes, they did. But, you know, we're not here to talk about Rampage.
No, but... so, and I didn't bring that up to talk about Rampage in that regard. I brought that up because that is a perfect example of what America really could have done with Kaiju if they had tried to make them their own. The only other debatable one I can think of is the Marvel Comics character American Kaiju. And I don't know how familiar with that character you are.
I'm somewhat familiar with him. He's basically a comic book character and... turns into a very, 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 very similar looking monster to Godzilla. It is
he's got an American flag down his torso.
He is absolutely a, you know, paying homage to Godzilla. But yeah, I'm familiar with him.
I mean, we may very well have gotten, you know, you could take a Sphinx, for example. A giant Sphinx would be a kaiju.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be out of the question, out of the realm possibility that America would have borrowed mythological beasts from other cultures.
No.
Sphinxes, griffins, chimeras, for example. And really, the term chimera is not, it doesn't just mean that monster. It means that it's a monster that embodies different features from another monster. So you could technically have a chimera if you had a bunny rabbit with, I don't know, bat wings.
Yeah. I mean, you could. But, yeah, I mean, what could have been? Like, we just, I don't know. It's like...
It's a very difficult question to answer.
Like I said, back in the day, it's like Hollywood was just lazy. They looked to nature, and then they looked to Japan. And in both cases, they were like, basically, like, you've already done our job for us. So why create something new whenever we could just borrow or Americanize the thing that you made? And that's what they did.
And it's not to say that it wasn't successful when they did it. Because if they hadn't have done that, we may never have discovered kaiju films.
No. Probably not. Because of the success of the 1956 King of the Monsters, you know, they kept Americanizing other Godzilla films and all that kind of stuff. Steven Spielberg directly cites the 1956 Americanized Gojira as one of the major reasons he decided to get into filmmaking.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, without that Americanized version of Godzilla, we may not be sitting here talking that we were big fans of Jaws. Because Jaws may not even freaking exist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the book would exist, but the movie that we know it as...
It would have been something else.
It would have been something else.
Been the Meg.
Yeah, because... That's,
I ain't trying to bring you down repeatedly, I promise, but... That would be an example of America taking something that they could have done something great with, because the book is fantastic. The book series is fantastic. And it's almost like they decided, you know...
It was a sci-fi original movie with a big budget.
Yeah, it's like, we know you put a lot of effort and you know you poured your life into this book series. We're going to take that and do something very bad.
And he was overjoyed with it, but honestly, he's been trying to get a movie for The Meg off the ground since the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So I firmly believe he was just basically like, he settled.
I had a book copy from 2003, and on the back of the book copy, it flat out states, soon to be a major motion picture.
I've got one on the front.
15 years
on,
from
on
that
the
point?
Front cover, it says soon to be a major motion picture. Like, I mean, that movie has been in development for no telling how long and changed hands so many times and all of that. And then we finally get it. I was pumped. I was excited. I couldn't wait. And I could not have been more disappointed with that crap movie.
We got the first trailer we got for that, the American trailer. I remember you messaging me saying, I don't know how I feel about this. Then we saw the international trailer. They took away the Somewhere Beyond the Sea because for whatever reason they chose that. And they just showed a few little clips from it. And it looked like it was going to be better than what we got.
Mm-hmm.
They totally screwed up Jonas. They
don't. No.
Yeah. We're not going to go any further. on that.
So I will do an episode on the Meg eventually, because a giant shark qualifies as a kaiju as far as I'm concerned. And anyone who wants to listen to me complain like there's no tomorrow about how that movie butchered one of my favorite books of all time. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm a flat out say, I do not care that it has Steve Alton's stamp of approval. Because, like I said, he's been trying to get that movie off of the ground since the 90s, and I firmly believe that he just settled. He was basically like, this is basically the last chance I've got to make my movie. Let's do it. I'm still going to watch The Trench whenever it's about to start production. I'm going to watch it. Hopefully they make it more serious, less funny, less goofy, less sci-fi original movie-like and all of that kind of stuff. I'm going to watch it because that's just how I am. You guys know, you longtime listeners know, I did not like Godzilla Singular Point. I loved Godzilla Ultima from Godzilla Singular Point. As far as the show itself goes, it was dull, it was boring, it tried way too difficult to be smart. I've had some people say, well, the only reason why people didn't like it is because they didn't understand it. No, I understood it. And even understanding it, it was still dumb.
Yeah.
It was still stupid. I did not care for it. But at the same time, at least once a week, I get online to be like, has season two been greenlit yet?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm going to watch it whenever it comes out. That's just me. Yeah. Like I
firmly believe that America choosing to continue to make their own with, not choosing to build off of what they have with The Beast and 20,000 Fathoms, and just instead choosing to just rebrand everything that Toho and everybody else did. That's why we got things like Sharktopus, Three-Headed Shark Attack, like Mechana Shark versus Sharktopus, Mega Shark. Titanoboa is another one. It's a boa constrictor whose body is the thickness of a bus. It's like
there was a serpent that lived, but it was not near that large.
But
they absolutely were like, yeah, we're going to call this a Titanoboa and then just make it stupid large. And
there's a scene in Anaconda versus Python. Or Boa Constrictor versus Python. I can't remember. It's one of those two titles.
Anaconda versus Boa. I believe that is one of them.
Where one of the snakes performs a certain act upon a human female who is in a vehicle, because she is blindfolded because her boyfriend got eaten by said snake, and she believes it's him at first.
Okay. Okay. We're moving along.
I wish you guys could have seen the look on his face.
I have.
But that's my point.
I have zero desire to talk about that
show. That is to my point.
And you were banned from this show for at least 6 months for even bringing that up. Like, how dare you, sir? Like, ugh. No.
But that is my point, that because they chose to just take somebody else's work, add a couple little things, and put their name on it, they didn't have to try to be original. They didn't have to try and put genuine effort into these things, so that when we do get these things where they put the effort in, it's awful.
And then whenever it's like, you know, and it's funny that whenever we actually do get legit good kaiju movies out there to where people are like, man, this was awesome, well received by the critics, well received by the fans, and it makes money, 99.99999% of the time, the director in some kind of interview or something where someone's going to be like, what was your inspiration? Where did you come up with making this movie? 9 times out of 10, they're going to go, well, I mean, I used to watch Godzilla movies whenever I was a kid, so I've always loved giant monsters. Mm-hmm. Or I watched Guillermo del Toro openly states that Gamera the Giant Monster, the original Gamera film, is his favorite kaiju film.
Mm-hmm. Japan has had such a stranglehold over the giant monster series that even when a great giant monster movie comes out, a new one, it doesn't matter where it's from. People immediately go, oh, is it Japanese?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's affected everything they do with their fictional media, that the Super Sentai series, the monsters grow large. And we still can't even take that and leave that as is. We had to take that.
We had to Americanize Super Sentai.
The only thing I can think of that America did as far as Super Sentai entities in any way, shape, or form to try and make it their own was the Mystic Knights of Tir na n'og. Everything else was a Sentai series or Kamen Rider or VR Troopers was taken from something else.
Gridman.
Ultraman. Mystic Knights was the only thing they ever made that was truly a Sentai series that was their own. And they still reused certain suits from Sentai series for flunkies. It goes to say that, you know, the what if, what could have been had they decided, okay, Godzilla versus King Kong, this is big, this is getting a lot of attention. Let's do another Redosaurus film, and like you said, attach the beast that inspired Godzilla. That would have 100% drawn people in, like, it inspired Godzilla?
Not only that, it would have caused people to be like,
let's
check out the original movie.
And the thing is, if you look at The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, and then you watch Godzilla versus Kong, the original King Kong versus Godzilla, rather, there is no real difference in production quality there as far as what is and isn't on the screen. The only difference is that I believe The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms is still black and white.
Yeah, it is. But, they could have done, you know, immediately jump to, let's do another Redosaurus film. They could have done a crossover, you know, King Kong, he's popular like there's no tomorrow now because not only was he already, like, America's most popular and successful,
I'm sorry. Squirrel brain, Sansa, Cal's dog, is paying attention to me and I'm petting her.
And he's talking to her, whispering, just like, good girl, that's a good girl. And I'm like, hello, we're in the middle of something.
I'm so sorry.
But anywho, people, like, King Kong at this point in time, now that he was already super popular, super successful, now he crosses over with Godzilla that's becoming super popular and super successful. So King Kong is now way up here. Godzilla is like just below him. They could have been like, okay, now it's time to do King Kong versus Redosaurus. Let's supersize the Redosaurus. Mm-hmm. Have them go head to head or something like that. But I mean, you know, King Kong was going through a whole lot of legal disputes and all that kind of stuff at the time. So who knows what really would have happened there. But I mean,
the Jeff Bridges King Kong movie was made in response to the Godzilla franchise still being as big as it was.
I mean, it could have been, but, you know, I don't know. But they could have, you know, another studio could have just looked over and been like, well, if RKO was able to do a crossover, like,
yeah,
let's do a crossover. Like, absolutely. Whoever owns some of these other giant monsters, like, hey, you know, especially after that movie, King Kong versus Godzilla, started the versus trend, they could have been like, hey, if you're looking for giant monsters for Godzilla to go up against, we got the Redosaurus over here. Mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, like
we've got another scorpion.
We've got giant ants. We've got giant, you know, whatever, and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, they could have, I don't know. So many missed opportunities.
They could have borrowed Mothra, considering we had already done multiple radiated insects.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it is what it is, so.
At the end of the day, we have what we have, and we can only move forward what we can move forward with.
I'm just happy that kaiju, like I said, it's really starting to look like the genre is starting to pick back up. It seems like every time I turn around now, a new kaiju film is coming out, or an independent studio has done one, or some studios in Japan that involve like former Toho employees are making 30-minute or 40-minute short films and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I'm all here for it. I'm all about it.
I personally would love nothing more than for Legendary to give me a Mothra film.
I mean, you never know. We might. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with this live-action TV series that they're going to be doing and all of that. I mean, it could lead to...
We could get a Mothra-themed episode.
We could get a Mothra-themed episode. We can get a Mothra spinoff TV show. I mean, like, who knows what... what this could do.
Absolutely.
Which is going to do nothing but skyrocket the
flying popularity.
Yeah. So, well, guys, we've been down the rabbit hole a lot. We've talked to dogs. We've talked about Jaws. We've talked about snakes violating women. And, you know, we've talked...
I don't often have a filter that tells me when I start talking.
Yeah. Like, we kind of beat all around the bush, but I think we talked about the question at hand. the best that we could. After all, this was just a theoretical question.
Yeah, and
there was really, there was no right or wrong answer. This was just simply two guys that like movies, that like monster movies and everything, that were like, basically, what if?
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
It's a difficult question to answer. It's one that arguably does not have any set answer. It's, as you said, it is a what if. There's so much interpretation that is open there. The point that so many people have had giant monsters in books that they have written, papers they've written for school. They've been featured in movies, video games, comics, toys, random toys. You can find giant monster toys that have no connection to any kind of movie franchise or existing franchise whatsoever.
No, it's just a giant monster toy. I'm like, oh, what's that from? Nothing.
Exactly.
It's just a giant monster. Like, okay.
It's a fun thing to think about, and but it can also be a frustrating thing to think about.
Yeah. But who knows, with the kaiju genre really starting to kick off again, and it looking like, you know, it's still a very big money-making genre, with all of the current reboots and remakes that's going on in today's TV world and all that kind of stuff. All I can do is sit there and hope that eventually I'll get my Beast from 20,000 Fathoms remake. I don't know.
I think that that would be more of a possibility than we might be giving it credence for, simply because eventually everything comes back around.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, somebody's going to look at that. And, you know, then we may not get a movie of that. We may get an HBO Max series. We may get an Amazon series. Like, it could be a limited, like, 4-episode thing where it's an hour and a half long episode each thing, or whatever the case may be.
I'll take it.
And you know what? They could explore it better that way, too, because they are not operating under the same kind of time constraints.
Yeah.
So, and there could also be... There's so much stuff to come out of Skull Island as well, which... Skull Island, with that being King Kong, that's ours. That's not Toho. That's not Japan. That is firmly American kaiju theme. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's... The Hollow Earth thing in Godzilla vs. Kong has opened up a tremendous amount of possibilities American kaiju to explore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows what's lurking down there. We already have the Warbat. We've got...
I love the damn Warbat.
We have Skull Crawlers that, you know, were on Skull Island, but they could have originated from the Hollow Earth. I mean, who knows what all could be down there and all that, but... Alrighty, guys, I think we've pretty much done our best and all that as far as answering the question goes. If you have any comments or things that you would like to add, by all means, just shoot me a message and be like, you know, hey, I think this could have worked or that could have worked or whatever like that. You know, I don't care. Go ahead and shoot me a message or, you know.
Sir, I hope we did our best to answer the question as best to your satisfaction. Of course, if you have any other follow-up questions, hey, we will...
Yeah, if you got anything to say, if you have any other, like... You know, if there's something that we said specifically that you sit there and be like, ooh, well, what about this? You know, go ahead, send it to me. I don't care. Bring it on. Like I say, I love hearing from you guys and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, keep it up. Unfortunately, I do not hear from my listeners near as much as I used to ever since my Facebook page got deleted. And, you know, I have either found or they have found some, you know, some of my more diehard listeners have found me again on my social medias. But I'm still, you know, I repurposed a page to the new Kaiju page and it has over 3,000 followers. And it's very strange to me to where I'm like, I literally have a page now with more than double of the following. But whenever I post something, there's times I don't get anything, like no reactions or nothing. And I'm just like, man, I can remember whenever I would post something and it only had like 600 followers and I'd get like 35 or 40 reactions and comments and everybody jumping on board and shooting me messages and all that kind of stuff. Well, the page
was also inactive for a very long time.
Yes, it was. It had been inactive since like 2017. But all of that said, guys, go follow me on social media.
Please just go,
go check out my Facebook page, Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla/King Kong podcast. I also have another one that's more strictly just kaiju related and everything, and it's called Godzilla Ultima, just because Godzilla Ultima is one of my favorite versions of Godzilla. Go check out Kid Kong's page. It's called Kid Kong at the Movies. And
You can hear Cal on my show every now and
again. Yeah, I jump on there every now and then. We talk about monsters or kaiju or sometimes if there's just a movie that I'm a big fan of. You know,
join me for The Ghost in the Darkness. He's joining me for The Perfect Storm. He will be joining me at the end of February for The Crow. And he mentioned the Universal Monsters earlier. I did a series during Halloween where you're talking about the various impact that horror movies have had on the franchise, depending on the franchise themselves, on the genre, that is. And he, myself, and Ian had quite a long discussion about the Universal Monsters themselves, while he also joined me when we talked about the impact that Godzilla had had on horror as a franchise.
Yeah, so go check out his episodes. Check out all of his episodes, but you know, go check out the ones if you want to listen to me and him talk. If you enjoyed listening, like, you know, the banter that he and I have, we kind of went down the rabbit hole more than usual in this episode. But
to be fair, we didn't have as much of a guideline with this episode.
No, I've got no notes. I've got nothing. Like, I mean, whenever he came over, he sat down. And I was just basically like, this is what we're talking about. I was like, I'm going to open up with dinosaurs, and we're going to go from there. And so that's what we did. Like, this was all just
very much off the cuff.
Yeah, me and him just having a conversation as if we were just, you know, sitting down, just talking and not even being recorded.
And this is even with several days thinking about this.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a doozy of a question. You had a great question, sir, and I really appreciated that.
Yep. Good on you, Eddie. Again, thank you for always listening and all of that kind of stuff. You're one of my best, biggest fans and all that. I very much appreciate you. Again, anybody else that has any comments, questions, or anything like that, message me. My YouTube is up and running. Go give that a shot. I've only got 3 videos out so far. It's called Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla/King Kong podcast. And, you know, I'll be doing, like, unboxings. I've got one podcast episode, which is a re-recording of the 1933 King Kong episode that I did. And I've got an unboxing episode on there where I pretty much open 4 figures, but only put together 3 because Mothra Leo was a pain in the neck and I didn't feel like going any further on it. And I did eventually get him together, but I was just like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And because as soon as I got done with Mothra Leo, it was time for Godzilla Ultima, which was the main reason I got it. And so I'm like, you were in my way. Like, I'm getting the Ultima.
Just show you the finished project on the next video.
Yep. So, yeah, go check out the YouTube. Check me out on Twitter, Reddit, TikTok, and all that. I'm either on all of my social medias. I'm either Cal the Kaiju Guy or Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla/King Kong podcast. So just go check it out. I haven't been as active on TikTok as I used to. I'm going to try and get back into that a little bit more. Pretty much on TikTok, I just use it for sharing kaiju fun facts. So if you want to hear those probably like 3 or 4 times a week, by all means, go check that out. And Chris, go ahead and plug your show real quick before we get off.
Well, I think we've done a pretty good job plugging that by you telling them to tune in. It's Kid Kong at the Movies. It's available on same platform for the most part. Your show is. I do have a Facebook page. I am not nearly as active with it as you are with yours. And that's strictly because I don't have a whole lot of time. My job requires me to drive, so most of the time I am driving, and then when I get home, one of the last things I want to do is get on my phone and text and type out things. You know what I mean? But
I get you. There's lots of times that I don't want to do it, but then I'm like, man, I haven't made a post in like 2 days. I haven't even posted a picture. Like, I need to do something. Here's Megalon, or, you know. Like. Right.
But I do have a Facebook page, and I have over 50 episodes of my show. It's the same basic formula and concept of what Cal does. You know, I talk about production, casting, the movie itself, the budget, its impact that it might have had. But I've also got retrospective reviews where I go back and I look at things. Like, I looked at Ozzy and Drix. I looked at the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. I also have actor showcases where I will take an actor and we'll discuss several movies that we love them in and discuss the actor in general. Cal joined me for my very first one where we talk about Bart the Bear. I have also been joined by another podcaster when we cover Jim Carrey. The next one that I'm going to be doing on that is either going to be Jack Nicholson or Bill Murray. I'm not sure which one, but it is probably coming. Unfortunately, my episodes are usually weekly. Right now, they are every other week because we are coming into inventory time at my work, and there are going to be periods where I'm at work until 10 o'clock at night, and I just am not going to have the time necessarily to put in the the research for the episode. So at least until the end of March, it will be every other Sunday at 1:30. After that, it's back every Sunday at 1:30.
You never have to worry about that with me, people. I'm a weekly podcast from day one, and I'm not going to change. Like, I don't... Hell or high water.
Yeah.
I put out my episode, yes, doggone it.
To the point, this man did one in his own vehicle while coming back from a vacation. Okay?
I was in the middle of New Mexico, and I'm like, it's time to do my podcast episode.
Ain't nothing gonna break your stride.
Nope. So, alrighty, guys. Again, thank you. Any comments, questions, anything like that, feel free to message me. Jump over to Kid Kong's podcast and give him some support.
I'm always
listen,
appreciative of it. I really am.
Listen to his episodes and all that kind of stuff, and we will catch you all next time. This is Cal the Kaiju Guy, signing out.
See you later.